Thank you for joining us for Science and the Solar Eclipse. I'm your host, Gordon Dixon. We'll be talking to Dr. George Matsko about the upcoming solar eclipses here in 2024, 2026, 2028, and 2030. The solar eclipse in 2024 will pass across the midsection of the United States. The 2026 solar eclipse will pass from Greenland down through the midsection of Spain, and the eclipses in 2028 and 2030 will crisscross over Australia. Thanks again for joining us today as we have been discussing the connections between what we have learned about science and a total solar eclipse. We have had very intriguing discussions with Dr. George Matsko. Dr. Matsko, thank you again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Now, here in Findlay, Ohio, I am recording this. We're recording this in 2024 in anticipation of the event we're going to have, basically an eclipse weekend, we're thinking of it as, coming up there in April. The actual eclipse is on Monday, April 8. But Dr. Matsko is going to be joining us at Heritage Christian School, our Ministry of Christian Education, and Calvary Baptist Church. He's going to be joining us beginning on April 4 when he comes in and be speaking there to the students and also at a sister church here in the area. So Dr. Matsko, you're going to be addressing this whole question of the total solar eclipse and what it teaches us about the glory of God. So tell us more about that. How are you making that connection for us?
So that my text is going to be Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There's no speech or language where their voice is not heard. So the heavens refer to what appears in the sky above us. Firmament or sky is the canopy that seems to cover the earth from our vantage point as we look up. It's a synonym for the heavens. Mm-hmm. So the glory of God in this context points to the splendor of the Creator. As we look up, we see the amazing handiwork of God. And that's going to be my topic at 9:30 on Sunday morning, is how do the heavens declare the glory of God? We talk about them declaring God's glory, but how do they do that? And I see three ways. One is through transcendence and awe. And as we look at the universe, we see its grandeur. It should evoke feelings of humility and awe. And I'm going to focus on stars, what's going on in outer space, and how many stars there are, and the biggest star, and the furthest star, and the closest star. All these things should generate humility and awe in our lives, and that glorifies God. Second way that heavens declare the glory of God is through their universal testimony. The heavens are accessible to all people, regardless of their language or culture. We're talking about people in Findlay, Ohio, seeing the eclipse, but eventually, given enough time, everybody on Earth will see a total eclipse because they happen all over the world. And so you have this universal testimony to the existence and glory of God. So we're going to focus on the sun for this. And what is the sun made of? And what are the secular theories about where the sun came from? And what are the problems with the secular theories about where the sun came from? And the various arguments that secular scientists use. It's really Christians who really understand the sun and how God spoken into existence on the fourth day of creation. And then we are going to look at order and design. Another way that God, the heavens declare the glory of God, is through order and design. And I'm going to use as an example the moon and the unique features of the moon and how God designed this object in the sky, really to allow life to exist on the surface of the earth. Most people don't understand that, but without the moon's influence, a life on Earth would not be possible. Mm-hmm. And so those are the three things, three ways that the heavens declare the glory of God: through transcendence and all, the universal testimony, and order and design. And so topics I'll include, we'll talk about, you know, how long it would take it to get to the closest star, or six problems with the secular fairy tale of the sun's formation that the secular scientists give, and God's purpose for the moon, and what the Bible says about why the moon is up there, and would we miss the moon if it were gone, things like that. I think you'll find it very interesting.
You know, it's almost a toss-off remark in the days of creation when it says that he made the stars also. And
yes,
now we're understanding from, I don't know what they've discovered with the James Webb telescope, but I know they've been saying 100 million galaxies and 100 million stars in each one.
So the last estimate I saw was before the James Webb telescope. And of course, that's all out the window now. But as of September 2021, they estimate 1 to 2 sextillion stars. So that would be 1 followed by 21 zeros. So that's a lot of stars. And that approaches, I guess, the number of sands on the seashore, as the Bible talks about those two numbers being the same, being as the number of sand on the seashore.
When you think about the moon and just the way it affects the tides and all that's bound up in that, you can just see how the Lord has made that and what he's done to give us understanding.
I remember when I was growing up, there was somebody was talking about sending up a nuclear missile and blowing up the moon back in the 1960s. And of course, that would have meant the end of life on Earth as we know it. I don't know why they were suggesting that at the time. I guess they thought if they could do it, they should do it. I don't know. But without the moon, well, for example, the moon, as you said, creates the tides, and the tides create ocean currents, and the ocean currents bring the dead organic matter at the bottom of the ocean to cause upwelling to the surface of the ocean, and there that organic matter is consumed by plants like algae, and through photosynthesis, it produces oxygen. And that's the oxygen that we're breathing right now. You know, some people think that most of the oxygen that we're breathing comes from the Amazon, but it's not true. Most of the oxygen comes from the ocean. And so if the moon wasn't there, you wouldn't have the tides. You didn't have the tides. You wouldn't have the currents. You didn't have the currents. You wouldn't have the upwelling. If you didn't have the upwelling, you wouldn't have the green plants. And if you didn't have the green plants, you wouldn't have the oxygen. And we're all dead. So the moon actually does what it's supposed to do. It keeps us alive.
I also read somewhere that Jupiter acts like our big brother, capturing things that come into the solar system to try that could potentially affect us. And just,
it also has another effect besides being a cosmic vacuum cleaner. It actually adds energy to the Earth-Moon system. So if you think about the moon's always pulling on the Earth, and you would think that if the moon's always pulling on Earth, the Earth would be slowing down. Its rotation would slow down. But it doesn't. It's the length of an Earth day only varies by a hundredth of a second. And so why not? Well, because the Earth-Moon system actually gains energy from the outer planets, especially Jupiter. So it's like a watch. It has a lot of different parts, and God designed it, the Jupiter, in order to keep the Earth-Moon system stable.
And then if you take this discussion and go back to our previous discussions about trying to understand the nature of gravity, and if it's not a force, how that all works together. You've described it as almost like a fabric of the space-time, I don't know if we use the word continuum, but the space-time understanding, how it all works together. And the fact is, we just don't know. We don't understand it yet.
Yes, it's one of the reasons why science makes a very poor religion. because theologians are able to exactly define their terms. They may not agree with each other, but they can define their terms. Whereas in science, we can't even define the basic things we deal with day by day. Mm. Like, what is gravity? You know, what is a charge? What is energy? I just have to say those words with enough confidence that people think I know what I'm talking about.
I read a lot of science fiction when I was a kid, and I remember reading about L. Ron Hubbard. And L. Ron Hubbard said, people are so naive. They are so gullible. I could start my own religion, and people would fall for it. And the other science fiction writer said, there's no way. And he went right out and started Scientology. And that's where Scientology began, because he said, I know I could do this. And people are still...
Well, that's the way the placebo effect works. Mm-hmm. You know, they actually have a department at Harvard to study the placebo effect. And they found that everything from the doctor wearing a white coat to having his degree up on the wall makes a difference as far as outcomes are concerned. Mm. And so we're influenced by all those things, you know, subconsciously, you know, that we don't think about.
Now, the last time I saw your demonstrations, both you and your wife were wearing white coats. Is that the reason for that?
That's right. It makes us look like scientists. Even makes my wife look like a scientist, even though she's not.
Yeah.
And so we'll be doing those demonstrations at the school on Thursday, April 4th, 8:20. We'll be talking to the junior high and high school in Spurgeon Hall. At 9:05 to 9:45 to the elementary school students at Spurgeon Hall. Same thing on Friday. We're going to divide the program into two parts. And so I assume that visitors are welcome to,
absolutely,
to see those. But we'll have, we'll have 25 or so different demonstrations we'll do. And we'll, set things on fire and burn things up and blow things up, that kind of thing. People really enjoy that. The demonstrations.
I remember the last time you actually started a fire on my hand and it didn't burn my hand. So I still remember that.
Well, people in your church are praying that you'd be on fire. And so we tried to help out.
Very good. Well, we are certainly looking forward to that. We are looking forward to the eclipse. If the Lord gives us a sunny day that we can observe the total solar eclipse, that would certainly be a privilege. But just to reflect on the amazing things we have learned about the Lord and his creative power as a direct result of solar eclipses. And Dr. George Matsko has really helped us turn the light on and understand so much of that. So Dr. Matsko, thank you again for your ministry to us and explaining that to us. And we certainly look forward to seeing you here in Findlay, Ohio.
Thank you very much. And if anyone wants to see where we are other places in the country, we post our itinerary on our website. And that's georgematzko.com, GEORGEMATZKO.com. And you can see where we'll be in other places in the country as well.
Very good. Well, thank you all so much for joining us today and listening in to these conversations. We hope that you have any questions. You could actually direct those to Dr. Matsko. And if you're in the Northwest Ohio area, we would love for you to join us, especially if you're coming in for the eclipse presentation. Please come and join us in this celebration of what we are learning and the amazing science understanding that is what we've learned as a result of these total solar eclipses. Thank you again. And Dr. Matsko, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you again for joining us for these series of conversations with Dr. George Matsko. He can be reached at his website, georgematzko.com. That's GEORGEMATZKO.com. The Matsko Science Ambassadors. These broadcasts are brought to you by LiveServeLead.com. Live, Serve, Lead, helping others succeed.